Hi everyone, welcome to the Inspired by Tweets podcast. My name is Ilsa Aida, one of the co-hosts.
And my name is Ahmed Rufaisa. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for joining us. This is our maiden edition and we're super psyched to, be recording this. So Ahmed, why did we decide to do this podcast?
Thank you. I think this podcast was, inspired by tweets that were shared between each other. A bit of violence in those tweets, going back and forth on, issues that we were concerned about, issues that, kind of border on a lot of things, not just Nigerian politics, which is obviously the cornerstone of most of our conversations, but then also general issues about young people, jobs and things like that. What do you think?
I think that it was basically the foundation of why we started this. I think what even sort of motivated this was one time we had this back and forth over technical colleges and people going to other institutions outside the universities. Yeah. And that sort of prompted this podcast, let's record and have this verbal conversation around some of the issues that we appear to be passionate about, and see whether in between all of these conversations perhaps there's a solution somewhere, or perhaps people listening to us can just contribute to getting meaningful solutions to some of these issues. Tell us a little about you, Ahmed. Who are you?
Yeah, very, very interrogating question. Who am I? I think I consider myself as, first, I'm a Nigerian, obviously. That's like my first label. Anywhere I go, I just consider myself a Nigerian, no matter what. I was born in Kano. Most my parents migrated from Kogi State, lived in Kano. I have ancestors who are actually from Kano. And my parents lived all my life in Kano, but they were there for more than about 40 years. But professionally, I'm a tech researcher. I do a lot of user experience work, trying to help tech companies understand, the landscape of technology and the markets in Africa. So this is what I do. I'm interested in football a lot. I think that in the future I might delve into coaching because I thought I was going to play football professionally and then I didn't. But I love research. I talk about politics a lot of the time. I love reading. I've read a lot of books and I'm still reading a lot of books. So it's your turn now to tell us about yourself.
Yes, I think like Ahmed, I think yes. The first thing about me is I'm Nigerian and I'm pro-Nigeria forever and ever, it's in my blood. I do not take anyone who wants to take away that label from me lightly. It's something I'm very passionate about. So yes, I was born here. I'm a lawyer. By training, I worked in a law firm for almost a decade before I changed my career path to what I do now, which is service to the Nigerian people. I am a servant. I'm what some people call any walk. When they say, oh, come on, go and sweep the floor. Okay, yes, ma. Oh, you go and paint the windows. Okay, yes, ma. Anything
and
you need me to do.
This is your attempt at being modest, yeah?
No, not at all. say, come on, go and buy Coke. That's it. I used to be a Coke addict, but I'm a reformed Coke, person. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I think a lot of us are former Coke. Coca-Cola, please. Not...
Exactly, not cocaine. before NDLEA, what are those chaps talking about? So in addition to that, I come from a pretty large family, very very passionate. I love my family, love my parents and my siblings to death. I'm the first child, which means that sometimes I may have control issues, but you know, it gets as it gets. Again, anything that's Nigerian will always catch my interest. And for me, I'm solution focused. Whenever people are talking about problems, I'm looking about how to solve it. That's the way I roll. Basically that. I am also very creative, I guess I should mention. Being creative is second nature to me. I see patterns in colors, in words, in stuff, you know. But yeah, basically that's all that there is to know about me.
Well, it's nice to learn more about you here. Obviously, we see a wee bit of that on other social media platforms. So,
true.
Okay, let's talk about something that you know these days has become very common, and that's therapy. And the way that we frame it is the coming of age, or is this something that's come of age, or is it some sort of new religion that people log on to with the issues that they normally would go into religious organizations with, you know? But yeah, what do you think?
Let me start with a joke.
Yeah,
I remember. Well, not a joke or some sort. But I remember a friend of mine last year suffered some loss.
Yeah.
And I kept reaching out to, I think you should go see a therapist. You know, I think you should go see a therapist. And he's like 2 years older than me. And I was like, oh, you need to go see a therapist. You know, I think, you know, you might need to work this out and stuff. And he said back to me, you're about that. Yes, I am not mad.
Wow.
I mean, so that should give you the sort of...
sort of attitude people have
to therapy. The sort of attitude people have to therapy. And if you're listening to this, I apologize, but it just came to me. Yes, you know...
Wow.
So Nigerians are generally averse to therapy. We're uncomfortable with sharing our secrets or thoughts with strangers. And, you know, I guess it's the way the country is, you know, since the day we were born, you know, we have a solve it yourself attitude.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd rather find an actionable solution, no matter how temporary it is, than talk and analyze our issues, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, you also deal in a country where religion is sort of like the backbone of the country. And, you know, religion is some form of indirect therapy for us, you know. But yeah, but please go ahead.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Therapy is, as you have said, you know, in Nigeria, we have this issue where everybody, you literally have people on the bus talking to each other about their problems at home and everything. But the moment you say, let's go to therapy, people are, they just turn a blind eye or they say something really ridiculous. But I think younger people are the one who have embraced therapy the more. I've seen more young people who are willing to go into therapy and have spoken to me about it. Oh, I've gone to therapy, I spoke and, and I think it's great because this is something that has been proven to work in other places. The more people are willing to go in, talk to people who have more knowledge about the issues they are dealing with, the better it is. But we have a tendency, obviously, to overflog things and begin to push boundaries. And if you don't go to therapy, people begin to assume, oh, something is wrong with you. Why would you not go to therapy? And things like that. So the people who see therapy as the option also need to understand the perspective of other people. It should be a nudging thing rather than a push to to get them to go to therapy just because they think that therapy is the answer for them. For other people, they might not see it that way. Isn't a bad thing, but maybe eventually they'll grow into it. But also we've had a lot of young people who are beginning to see, many young people are becoming irreligious because they think that religion is also a problem, which is a line of thought, they are always willing to interrogate, but people have different perspectives on this issue. But then therapy has also become some sort of, place that people go to share some of the things they used to share with religious leaders and try to find solution. But the difference is that I think that therapists have more qualification when it comes to speaking about mental health issues. And one thing I'm really happy about is that in Nigeria, we have quite a number of mental health outfits now speaking to people, reaching out to people who have shown tendency that they have mental health, and other people even recommending those organizations. I personally know of Mentally Aware, which is doing great, and a few other organizations like that in Abuja and Lagos and other places.
I think there's one thing that the country or people as a whole in the country have just become more vocal about mental health, and our country has just evolved to a place where people are just vocal about it, especially on social media. I remember even analyzing some period of my life and realizing that what I must have been experiencing at that time was depression. Well, of course, I probably didn't know what it meant at that time, just felt like what it was, so the point is, I think social media has become that platform. You find people using social media as a, as an open journal. And while people are now saying, take that journal offline, take it to a secret place, if you will, and go speak to someone about it. Speak about your struggles, speak about how you feel, speak about how, you don't feel compensated at work, or how you feel little, or even speak about your insecurities, speak about, just go and speak about some of these things, or speak about some of the things that you think your mommy and your daddy did to you.
Yeah.
That, that might have affected your growth, or, your outlook or perspective at life. Just a lot of stuff. And I appreciate that. I think that as someone who is always in touch with her emotions, I try to, make sure that I feel what I feel and I understand what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I know it's not the same for everybody. For some other people, they need prodding. Some other people need to understand what it is that they're feeling, so that, analytically, so that they can box it and deal with it. Yeah. I think therapists are a good idea. Unfortunately, it's also very expensive. It's not available to the regular people, an average, a seemingly cheap therapist in Nigeria would probably take between 25,000 to 35,000 naira per session. Yeah. Now imagine someone who is dealing with mental issues and is earning 40,000 naira. That is certainly not an option, because he can't even if he said, he was going to use his 1 month salary, that's just one session, and there's nothing you can really conclude in one session, one therapy session. So, I think that there are just many angles to it, but I'm glad people are opening up. But I'm also weary that people are not opening up to the wrong people, because I have seen on social media sometimes people using other people's experiences to discuss stuff. I find that very disgusting.
Yeah.
You should ever discuss anyone's issues with the public, because it was said to you in confidence. Yeah. Just trying to understand. So, whether it's a new religion, it might be for younger people.
Yeah.
And for people in my own age group, they may just be like, I'm not mad. I really can't get over it.
It is what it is.
Some days before I even say to people, older friends, like if I suggest it, I kind of try to watch whether how they react first before they were like, I tell you, I'm
just so you don't get stoned in the process.
Exactly. I remember asking someone some questions about therapy like a week ago, and then they said, well, you need Jesus, just pray, you'll be all right.
Okay, you know? I think in terms of cost and everything, the more we go, the more outfits are coming up, the more people are becoming aware, I think the more the cost comes down, and you know, who knows,
a lot more. I think one of the things that, I mean, one I failed to mention earlier, of course, with this coronavirus thing, is sort of exacerbated the need for therapy. People are now alone with themselves, you know, without the distraction of jobs, without the distraction of business, without the distraction of daily hustles that would have them, you know, have them interact with other people, which could sometimes take edge off, you know. So now people are having to deal with themselves. They're having to confront who they are. They're having to confront who they are in the mirror, and sometimes that's not a pretty thing, you know. It's like, oh my god, who's this human being?
Tell you all about it. It's not because myself, when COVID started, the whole of Ireland closed down, and I live in Dublin. And I literally couldn't go out to the stores to buy stuff because I was scared by the virus, but also I have to stay on the queue and I hate queues. So what I did was to always wait until people, you know, are done. But I spent a lot of time on my couch, even though I was working at home. I just wasn't into it. I just wanted to be alone. At that time, I actually considered, you know, trying therapy out, but then I didn't want to also do virtual calls for therapy, so I'm just like, no, I'm going to just, you know, wait this out. And I think we can then move on to the, you know, next thing we wanted to talk about, which is what the future of jobs is, especially for young people. What skills do people need to be relevant 10 15 years or 5 20 years from now? So I mean, you are a young person, so
excuse you. I can look it. But trust me, I'm not that much of a youngin.
Okay. Well, you are young now, so tell us, what do you think about, you know, the future of jobs?
Okay, so I mean, you have to understand the pressure of growing up in Nigeria, the only type of successful person your parents consider you to be, if you're a lawyer, doctor, engineer, which was the other one, you know, so all this new thing people are doing, software engineer, coder, what do they do there? that's how Nigerian parents view you. And I mean, when I think about it, I've told you, I'm the first of seven children, top to bottom. We all have, like, you know, professional
careers,
but we've all now moved into other types of career. But you see, that professional certificate, you had to get it. My father wasn't hearing any of it. Like, he always says, oh yeah, if something falls, you can always fall back to your certificate. Like, okay. You know, but unfortunately,
very Nigerian thing.
That is a very Nigerian, I'm telling you, a very Nigerian thing. I remember I was going to get into university. The first, I think I was offered English in one university, and I was like, oh, I need to go. And because this other uni I didn't come to, my father said, if you had to do that for 3 years, you got to read that law. You said you want to read English, what? You know, but that was it. Anyway, but I mean, thankfully, I think there now exist diverse opportunities for a new generation.
Yeah.
And who are coloring outside the lines and looking outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, which is a good thing. And you know, technology has just simplified a lot of things for people. I mean, look, for example, people that call themselves social media managers, that was not a job that existed 15 years ago. you know, a lot of stuff, you know, it's just that there's just so many opportunities with the use of technology and a lot of stuff that you can do from home and stuff. And when you think about jobs of the future, I mean, I think it's technology, it will always be technology related. But I also think that on the other side of it is people who are creative.
Yeah.
Now, being able to imagine things, being able to imagine education, for example, in a little box, you know, reaching the hands of children at home. It's just imagination and creativity. I think those two things, outside any other thing that the World Economic Forum will suggest to us, you know, they're those two broad things are going to be responsible for the jobs of the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you?
I think that in the near future, or even starting from now, I think that everybody, outside of people who obviously, you know, don't require technology, everybody is going to require technology to do their work. And this time that we are in has proven it. In the past, when pandemic shut down the world in, you know, 1918 or whatever, agriculture stopped and people then have to come out to go to farms, which then ensured that the virus continued to spread because people couldn't stay without food. They had to go to harvest their farms and things like that. But we have seen a pandemic that's literally shut down the world for a year now, and the world trade continues. In fact, trade globally was down by just about 4% globally. And this is because technology is helping farming, it's helping exporting and a lot of that. So first, I think that every young person, no matter where they are, requires some sort of digital skills, you know, whether it is with using Microsoft, with using all the other little tools. Now, if you look at a lot of these young people that are using TikTok now and making videos and getting paid as creatives, these are literally small tech skills on their phones that they have, and they are getting paid a ton of money just by sitting there and making really creative videos. And so I think on the larger scale, AI is going to become like really, really big just from now to the near future. People using artificial intelligence for gaming, video calling, conference calling, and so on. So artificial intelligence is definitely going to be wild. A lot of investment by corporate organizations is going in there. Financial technology obviously is beginning to show why it's there. And I see a lot of young people are already becoming, are going into financial technology. Yeah. Trust and safety online is becoming really big. So a lot more young people are going to go into trust and safety, trying to help protect people online, are trying to make sure that online is virtual world is safe. Okay. It is safe for everybody. And I also see a lot of people going into, you know, gaming, coding, web development, engineering. A lot more young people are actually doing that now. So in the next 10 years, we'll see a remarkably number of the population just shifting what they intend to do in their universities. I think in the West now, a lot of universities have stopped offering, you know, these programs where it requires you to spend 4 years just reading a specific thing. And there's a lot of diversity in the things that people can read. They can take tech courses, they can take, you know, like history classes and just merge things around and make them better professionals. So I think, you know, what governments need to begin to do now is to invest a lot more in changing school curriculums, ensuring that as children are starting out, they have the skill to use a laptop from the beginning, just have that ability. And I think that's the first place to start building that digital skills for young people in the future. But what I also think about a lot more is obviously how much technology is going to be relevant to healthcare. And we've seen that, you know, science can save us, but then politics can still put us in problem, which is that a lot of politicians globally were fighting when they should be making, essentially collaborating for COVID vaccines and whatever.
Yeah.
And we saw how a lot of lives are being lost up till date. So I see, you know, tech playing a really crucial role in health, you know, testing epidemics and, you know, pathogen testing and things like that. And so I think a lot more of technology is going to, you know, be merged into health, and the life of healthcare workers, you obviously need to change. But one point I need to make is that tech companies now, most of the big guys from Google, Amazon, you know, Stripe, Facebook, what's it called, Spotify, and all these guys are beginning to actually shift their work to become more virtual. They've created policies that require staff to select coming to the office to work or staying at home. So as we try to defeat COVID, more people are definitely going to choose working from their homes rather than coming to the office. In fact, people like Spotify have offered the options to their staff to keep the same salaries that they were taking before COVID and still work from home. So things like this are going to happen. And
that also presents, I guess, an opportunity for people around the world.
Yeah.
Because if a lot of these companies are insisting that or are given the option for people to work from home, that means that they can require or they can hire talent from anywhere across the world. So exactly. If you're not digitally skilled, if, for example, you're in Oshogbo or you're somewhere in Jigawa, for example, that means that you can be an employee of, say, Spotify or even Google, as long as you have the requisite skills. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's an opportunity for many young people to tap in. You know, again, I guess what people want to know is, what are these skills that you speak of?
Yeah.
You know, what's this thing that, you know, what are the exact skills? You know, people just talk digital skills.
So I'll give you an example.
Exact skills. Okay.
I'll give you an example. Data analytics is one of the biggest digital skills that people obviously don't see it now, but it's one of the greatest skills now. And I'll explain why I say this. In sports coaching, sports fitness, and literally anything around sports health and you know, making data decisions are powered now by data analytics. So we have sports analysts who have become more, you know, tech inclined. And so they require knowledge about SQL to measure at what pace a player is running, you know, all those kind of stuff. The ones that are in charge of sports health are measuring, you know, using data, how much somebody ran compared to how much they've run in the next few matches. And then they use that knowledge to kind of inform what programs they need to, you know, change. And so if you come into, you know, let's say operations, for example, where I have a bit of experience, is essentially people using numbers on how many people are logging into their services to say, you know, we are going to use these numbers to make this kind of decisions, to project how much they need to invest going forward in this kind of field. So sports, essentially data analytics alone, is a skills that many companies require people to have even before they walk through the door. And that's just one aspect of it.
Okay, but let me ask you that straight off. You know, so there's a young person, you know, maybe in a Nigerian university, has hardly heard of this, but is interested in getting these skills. What are the practical ways, you know, I'm almost ancient of deeds. I'm like, you know what, it's time to go and hone my skills. I want to do this. What are the practical ways? What is the practical step? Or what are the practical steps to getting these skills? You know, let's see if it might benefit one person.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about it is that, again, social media and the internet, whatever, has made this knowledge come closer to people. So if you're a young person, you're thinking, I want to, you know, just pivot away from what I'm doing into data analytics, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of courses online that you can pay little amount of money for, with people like Coursera, Udemy, and all those online courses. There are YouTube teachers, people putting free videos on YouTube for people to watch on how to, you know, become data analysts, how to use SQL, how to use all the other, data analytics too. There are also classes in Nigeria that I know of where companies like Data for Africa, a certain organization in Abuja that runs program to train people on how to become data inclined. So yeah, if anybody, you can literally just go on the internet and even search data analytics course and it'll come up. So people don't really have any more excuses unless they need money, obviously, to register for these kind of courses.
Yeah, which in itself can be I also need to, you know, just stress at this moment that all of these things are good. I mean, some of the things that you've pointed out, they're very important, but there are things that you have to have that require yourself, you know, that require you to, you know, be a self-starter with, you know. So one of it is versatility, you know, the ability to be able to take in information, whether they agree with your point of view or not, you know, critical and creative thinking, you know, the ability to just think outside the box, innovation, and patience.
Yeah.
You know that you're not going to get it right the first time or the second time, but, you know, you just have to keep at it and be consistent, you know, in getting, before you get to the goal that you desire.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Okay, I think it's probably time to talk about some more fun stuff since we've been discussing.
Yeah, we do a lot of heavy.
Yeah,
conversation.
Some more fun stuff. So, I mean, there's been a few things, obviously, on Twitter. As we know, the name of the podcast is inspired by tweets. We tend to, I think our plan is to look out for some funny things on Twitter, which, you know, this week or any time that we are recording really trended or things like that. So what do you have in mind?
Okay, so let's talk about when Twitter suggested that Benin Republic was about to be the 37th.
yeah, we should definitely.
I remember, you know, I think I walked in, I finished a virtual meeting and I was just scrolling through my phone. I was like, what the hell? Like, you know, don't you get tired? You know?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, you know, and it's the number of people who already believed it and were, you know, arguing back and forth. I think the president of Benin Republic, you know, was just making a joke. I'm saying at this point, people already consider Benin to be the 37th state, something like that. And it became really serious on Twitter. And it was really funny to see the different reactions with people saying they are going to move to Benin.
Exactly. I mean, I saw the ones where people say, oh, can I marry from there? Will I passport? What is wrong with you, Nigerians? Just stop.
And then obviously there was this video where this guy was at a salon trying to cut his hair. And the barber, I don't know why, kept pouring water on his head. I think it was a spray. You know how they spray your hair to be soft before? And the guy kept spraying. And the guy who came to cut his hair couldn't understand why he was spraying for up to 5 minutes. So he just told him, look, stop. And he took, there was a bucket of water in his front, and just poured the water on his body. So since you want to laugh me, you know.
And then the guy just carried on with the spray.
It was the most ridiculous.
Sometimes I don't know how people just come up with these jokes, but sometimes they're actually very. I mean, if there's something I'm grateful for social media, this comedic stuff, the ones that are really funny. They're really great. They're really great. And then we should talk about the one that somebody's wife recorded of him when he was watching football.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to bring that up.
Somebody's wife recorded him. Somebody's having.
I'm still suing her anyway.
And his wife recorded him watching football on television. And And at different points, it felt like as if you could enter the TV.
And the funny thing is that I'm still watch a game between Chelsea and Manchester later this afternoon. I am frustrated sometimes by those players, you know. And that video, I think it didn't actually capture enough of my frustration with watching football.
She was being a good wife, just showing just a little of the madness.
No, I'm actually going to sue her for exposing me.
Yeah. No, she's protecting you just so that people can see what she has to deal with.
Okay. As we are coming, obviously we are drawing close to the end of you know this first episode, and we want to end it on a really fun note with the fire questions. So get ready. Are your fire questions ready? I think we can go five each way, or we can go more if you like.
Okay. No, you just go first.
Yeah. Okay. These are just either or questions. And you let me know what your answer is. So, I'm going to start with something that I always have found interesting. Let me see which one you chose. Physical or digital newspapers?
I just have to answer it. I don't have to give reasons, right?
You have to give maybe one reason at least.
I don't know. I like paper. I like the feel of paper. So, yeah, I'll say physical paper, even though I don't get to touch as much as I would.
Yeah, okay. So, tea or coffee?
Child, depends on the mood. But I would probably be a coffee person.
Okay.
I like cappuccino.
Yeah, cappuccino is nice.
Yeah.
Travel or staying?
Depends on the mood.
I'm not scared everything is going to be depending on your mood.
Depends on the mood. Some days I'm in the mood for travel, some days I just want to stay in my house.
Yeah.
But if I were to peak, it'd probably be staying.
Okay. Road trips or flights?
Road trips, absolutely.
Yeah. Pounded yam or semo?
Ugh, I've never eaten semo pounded yam.
Wow. Okay. Abuja or Lagos? Did you say Lagos? Did I hear Lagos?
I don't want either town to disown me. So I stay mute.
You have to pick one option though.
Okay, Abuja.
Okay. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Fiction, non-fiction?
Fiction.
Books, movies? Books or movies?
Mood. That's a mood question.
It's a mood question, right?
It's a mood question.
Okay, so you go with movies.
I get lost in both. So,
okay. Yeah. Sweet or savory? Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Jollof or fried rice?
Jollof.
Okay, your turn.
Okay, work hard or play hard?
Work hard.
Ahmed doesn't want the people listening not to offer him
punishment. I actually play, but I don't play hard enough. I should play more. You get what I mean?
You're waiting to become a billionaire so you can play hardest.
I don't even have any million now, which is the funny thing. I need to revisit this my hard work. You get what I'm saying? I don't understand. All the hard work I've been putting in the last few years, I don't see where it's going.
Okay, passenger or driver?
Definitely passenger. I've never actually driven in my life. I mean, I drove for like a few weeks, but then I stopped. I didn't feel it. So now, actually, in Dublin, I'm trying to actually enroll for driving. But that's literally for the sake of emergencies or taking trips to fancy places. Yeah, but I always prefer to just sit and press my phone while somebody drives.
Nice. Online shopping or shopping in a store?
When it's a book, I love to shop in a store. But every other thing, if it's possible to just sit and have it delivered, I would take the option. But then the charges for delivery is also is the thing that always, you know, makes me go into a shop.
Okay. A tablet or a computer?
I love my computer, yeah. So no tablet. But I chose smaller computers, so all my Macs are actually small.
Okay. A nice car or a nice home interior? Or a nice home interior?
I would choose a nice home interior, you know. I'm not very much of a car person.
Okay. Yeah. So what's worse, laundry or dishes?
I would say if I have to do the laundry by hand, it's worse. But if it's with a machine, obviously it's easier. But if it's by hand, I won't do the laundry. I hate laundry, but I love doing dishes. Yeah.
Okay. Sneakers or sandals?
Sneakers. I love sneakers.
One more. Jogging or hiking?
Hiking. Definitely hiking. But I love to jog. But hiking is really fun.
Okay, so we're done with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how was it? First episode, what do you think? Did we do great?
I think it was. I mean, I was pretty, pretty nervous because, you know, I'm not one to be this all over in people's faces, but yeah, I actually enjoyed it, which is a good thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope everybody listening also enjoy as much as we did. You are listening to Inspired by Tweets podcast, and my name is Ahmed Faisa. Thank you for listening.
Yes, and my name is Ilsa Aida. I don't mind Ahmed, that just sounded like as if he's an anchor on NTA News.
That was once my dream, but then I shelved you quickly after I discovered. Let me not say. Let's just close.
Beat everybody. It has been such a great honor, like speaking to you guys, even though we can't see your faces. And we hope that you received our conversation in good faith. Be kind, be gentle with your criticisms, because I may just break down and never come back.
send us emails, you know.
Yeah, send us emails, or, you know, even tweet at us at our handles. Probably should even create a Twitter handle for this Inspired by Tweets podcast, so you can tweet your stuff at us. Thank you very much. My name is Ilsa Aida, and of course, Hamid, that was behaving like NTA News anchor. Well, till next week.
All right.
Have a fun week and a blessed week. Thank you.
Right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.